And now, get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, They Can Say'd, written by Paul Reimer. Well, sir, it's late afternoon as we approach the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here on the back porch, we find Vic and young Russell. The gentlemen are standing on the top step at one, and a serious conference seems to be in progress.
It's a fine thing when a man don't dare enter his own home.
It's always like this when Mom entertains the Thimble Club ladies.
It's cold out here.
Yeah.
I want a snake in the house.
You can't.
Why not?
Because there's ladies all over the place. Mm. There's five or six ladies in the living room talking. Mom and Miss Sambottom and Miss Trogler fixing refreshments in the kitchen. Miss Morris, Miss O'Donnell, and Miss Clyder are having some kind of a committee meeting in the dining room. Miss Johnson's up in you and Mom's bedroom laying down with a slight headache. And Miss Craig is in my bedroom sewing up the hem of her dress she kicked loose with the heel of her shoe. Of course, you can go in there if you want to.
Well, Mr. Gook, say, you're quite the stranger. Miss Pendleton, you've met this nice man, haven't you? Miss Pendleton, Mr. Gook. Mr. Gook, Miss Pendleton. I just bet Mr. Gook is dying for one of those perfectly delicious little dainty sandwiches.
That's the way they sound, all right. By George, it is cold out here.
Doggone it, I knew your mother was entertaining the Thimble Club girls today. My son, didn't I remember it?
What would you have done if you'd have remembered it?
Stay down at the office. You walked right in on the hen party, huh?
Yeah.
Why, Russell, honey, look at what a big boy Hammond is getting to be. Mrs. McSkelkinton, did you ever see such a monster, this enormous big baby boy?
Do you like your teacher? Say, he's got roses in his cheeks. I bet I know a boy that'll eat a piece of this wonderful marble cake. What do you take for those long eyelashes? Chuck.
Well, all this gay talk and happy laughter isn't getting us any warmer.
Yeah. Let's go overnight in Neesuffer's basement.
Nobody's home at Neesuffer's.
Oh, that's right. They're in Peoria today.
How about our own basement?
Okay.
No.
Sure. You can go in the fruit room and play rummy.
I'm afraid Mom's guests would consider us boorish, impolite, and crude.
No. The ladies don't expect men to hang around. They look for him to glance in a minute, nod and guffaw, and say hello, and then disappear to the basement or the attic or outdoors.
Oh, Shelly Wags is back there on the back porch.
Hi, hi, ho, da, ho. Another comes to join our misery and share our plight.
Hello, Uncle Fletcher.
You, Shelly Wags, haven't got any legal right on the premises. I'm going to call the police and have you thrown in the calaboose.
How are you, sir?
First rate, Vic. I can't complain. I like to keep him about average. Hello, Russell.
Hello, Uncle Fletcher.
I beg pardon, Russell. What'd you say?
Nothing.
I thought I understood you to say so.
No, I'm just talking to hear myself talk.
Glorious day, Vic.
By George, it sure is. So glorious, I think I'll freeze to death directly.
That's right. No, I've been riding with Gumpucks on the garbage wagon a good part of the afternoon. I'm kind of cold.
We are, too.
Sadie in the house, are they?
Sadie in her whole Thimble Club outfit.
Yes, out of fine.
Yeah.
Things work out that way sometimes.
Yeah, sure do. Now you take cigars. Cigars make smoke. Smoke comes from chimneys. Wish I had a ribbon for my hair.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, sir.
You and Russell standing out here on the porch in the cold for any particular reason?
We're scared to go in the house.
So, why is that, Rick?
Well, 9 million Thimble Club ladies are in there.
Oh?
Russell and myself hesitate to barge in and get enmeshed in women talk and drunk.
I don't believe I'll go inside either.
We're the three musketeers.
I don't believe I'll go inside either.
We're all afraid of
the
going.
The case of everybody buttonholing me and coming all this business about. Mr. Rush, how loud you're looking. I believe you have a peeling or something in the crease of your vest there. Why, Mr. Rush ain't got no sandwich. Give Mr. Rush one of them delicious little lay brain sandwiches. Dorothy, you have to.
Hey, I can't believe I'll sit down.
Too darn late to go back to the office.
Mr. Rush, why don't you never come visit me and Ralph anymore? Come and eat supper with us on Sunday. Mrs. Ruppelman, you numbskull, you're standing on Mr. Rush's foot. Mrs. Ruppelman, standing on Mr. Rush's foot.
Move over, Dorothy. I believe I will sit down.
Okay.
Man, might as well freeze to death sitting down and standing up.
Yeah.
We're like three poor little robins out here. We're desolate and forlorn. Our thick feathers and puny bones are whipped mercilessly.
Oh, it's not really so cold.
No? What do we perish? What if tomorrow's newspapers publish the melancholy story of how three brave men succumbed to the
rigors? If it was really cold, if we were really miserable, we'd walk right in the house, ladies or no ladies.
No, the chilliness of the afternoon sort of seeped into my bones. I catch a fellow who rides on a garbage wagon the best part of the afternoon in sharp fall weather like today, kind of.
What's the matter?
How do you do, Miss Kreider?
Oh. She's standing in the kitchen window?
Miss Kreider, she's standing in the kitchen window.
You going to look around?
Yeah. Hello, Miss Kreider.
No, I got to turn around.
I saw Miss Kreider's oldest boy, William, this morning.
Oh, did you, Miss
He's down in the interurban station with his valise. I guess he was headed for Decatur or Danville. I never asked him, but I imagine one of the other them cities was his destination.
I hope so.
See, probably. You hope so?
Yeah.
You hope Miss Kreider's oldest boy, William, was headed for either Decatur or Danville?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fine.
Mr. Cracker's cousin Lombard, that resides in Gina, loves to reduce his dear friends to helpless, twisted, pulpy heaps of hysterical laughter by...
Absolutely, Miss Johnson.
She's standing in the kitchen window, huh?
Miss Johnson, she's standing in the kitchen window.
Hey, don't turn around. If you turn around and speak, then I've got to turn around.
Hello, Miss Johnson.
No, heck.
I didn't see Miss Johnson's oldest boy, William, today. There's a nitwit lame brain coincidence for you. Miss Kreider and Miss Johnson...
How do you do, Miss Johnson? Sit down, Uncle Fetcher. You stand up and face the house that way, you have to speak to the ladies, and then that makes me...
Afternoon, Miss O'Donnell. Miss Gregg. Miss Morris.
Hello, Miss O'Donnell. Miss Gregg.
Oh, Sunday.
Oh, how are you, Miss Morris? Well, heck, I thought a gentleman...
Oh, how did you, Miss O'Donnell? Miss Gregg. Hello, Miss Morris. Now, look, fellas, let's use our heads here.
Lady by George. That's the same.
I can tell.
Hello, Mom. Well, one thing, anyway.
Come on now, guys. Let's face around here.
Well, one thing, anyway.
What's that?
The ladies will be leaving shortly.
How can you tell that, Dr. C?
Because they're all out in the kitchen. That means they've had their refreshments and they're doing the dishes. As soon as the dishes are done, they'll snort and holler around about how they really must go now and start putting on their wraps and standing in the doorway yelling about what a glorious time...
After them, Miss Clarice.
Now we got to turn around.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I do, Miss Corey. She's laying with her dish towel at us.
Yeah, she'll be arch and humorous and kicking
it.
Yeah, we'll soon be in out of the cold now. Mm. It sure is funny how ladies go through the same identical business every trip.
How do you mean, Mr. Woolsh?
Oh, I'm thinking about when they get through eating their refreshments. The hostess always says, now, for goodness sakes, don't touch a thing.
Yeah, and that's the cue for everybody to jump up and scream.
Lady, whatever can you be thinking of? Why, the idea... Mrs. McSkulkington, hand me a dish right this minute.
And then they'll all troop off to the kitchen.
Ladies have fun.
Don't they, though?
Floyd and Jackson, lay there, and Dixon used to be confused as to what and where Des Moines, Iowa are. I used to have to tell him. Roy, I always used to have to say, Des Moines, Iowa are a city approximately 450 miles...
Oh, my.
Absolutely, Miss Chester.
Okay, let's turn around.
Yes.
Hello, Miss Chester.
Afternoon, Miss Jefferson.
Afternoon, Miss Jefferson.
Afternoon,
Miss Chester. How do you do, Miss Stewart? Hello, Miss Harley.
Afternoon, Harley.
How do you do, Miss Chester?
Afternoon, Miss Chester.
Well, that's that, I guess.
Yeah, the ladies have finished the dishes. They're going home now.
Leaving the kitchen, at least.
Yeah. Of course, they'll skulk out in the front porch for the next 20 minutes, putting on their rubbers and hollering away about what a red-hot time they had.
Oh, sure.
But we're at liberty to go in the kitchen and not run into any ladies.
Oh, let's do that.
Hey.
Yes, Uncle Fletcher?
I'm cold.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And don't forget to listen to Vic and Save the next time. This is Ed Roberts saying good day for Crisco.
Vic and Save comes to you from Chicago. This is the National Broadcasting Company.